Amen.
Thanks, Jeff. Good one, yeah. Good morning, everyone. So as Joe said, I was ready with one sermon, and yesterday I felt the Lord just redirect everything. I just didn't feel like the previous message was ready, good to go, but just didn't feel like God's breath on it. I didn't feel like the one to go from. And last night at 10 o'clock, I managed to sit down and get going with a message I believe the Lord wants me to share. But before I get to the message, I want to make a big announcement. There's some great news that we want to share with you. And then after the back of those big news, we're going to share a few practical things that's relevant to the big news. And then we're going to get into the message. And I trust that the message will help us navigate this news. For some, it's going to be very exciting. For some, it's going to be quite unsettling. But I believe the message will help us navigate that. I also believe this message will help many of us where we find ourselves today. And it will highlight the importance of making sure that we are planted into a local body. So, but just under 4 years ago, we moved into this wonderful facility. We were about 220 adults and kids that would gather on a Sunday. Currently, we're ranging anything from about 550 to 630 people that gathers here in this facility on a Sunday. So over the last 4 years, we've seen incredible growth. We've planted people out to help plant churches in the area. We've prayed people out to go plant churches in other countries, to join and support churches in other provinces and cities. Part of it is because God's spoken. We need to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so now we know there's a mandate that God has called us to go plant churches and be part of what he's doing across the world. And we also did it to create space for those that God is adding. Because for us, church is not just a big gathering. For us, church is where the family comes together, where we find direction, where we can worship the Lord together, and where we can contribute and be part. And so part of what we found is we are continuing on this journey. We are so thankful that God is allowing us to expand and to grow. And part of our vision as Joshin is to see healthy New Testament churches be planted all across the country and the world. And we know we're not there yet. We're not the finished product, but we really want to follow the blueprint that we see in the New Testament and model ourselves and do church according to those values. And part of that is God is adding and we're seeing growth. And it's come to the point where we realize in the Lord he's leading us to come to a place where this congregation multiplies into two congregations. And that's the big news. On the 4th of October, we will have two morning congregations here in this venue. So as Joe said, we've got 61 congregations meeting at 49 venues. And part of it is that's why we didn't build a 1,000-seater. That's why we didn't build a 2,000-seater. Because we don't... They got under mic for it. Okay.
Is that better?
I'm not sure if you got the news, but we are multiplying this congregation into two morning meetings. And part of it, why we don't have a big facility, is we want to make sure church is a place where people are known, where you can have meaningful relationships, where the leaders are able to know you. Because we're not a preaching center. We're not a place where we just want to package a good message and have a wonderful set gathering. We want to be a place where we truly journey together, where we are known. The leaders know us. You know the leaders. And that's why we have smaller congregations all across the area. That's why we've got smaller congregations meeting in one venue. And having our own facility allows us the opportunity to have multiple congregations meet in the same venue. We've got the LEAP students, 45 of them, that's moving over the 1st of October. So they'll join us in our morning congregations as well. So there's an influx of another 45 people coming on that date. And about a year and a bit ago, Ashley Gabriel from England, he was here, someone that we acknowledge as someone that would come into our church and build into us and help us find God's direction for us. And he spoke a word about God wanting to branch us out. that he called us branch, that we won't settle, but we will be a people that branch out. We've had many words that God will send people here from across the world. It will be a train station where people come and then be sent out. And so what does it mean for us? It means that we won't have two services, but actually two congregations where you can plant yourself into one of them, either 8:30 or 11 o'clock. And so that's going to be, and we believe that God will probably multiply us in such a way that we're probably 60% of the congregation currently will be in one and about 40% of the congregation in the other one, or about 65, 35. We're not sure where it's going to land, but we don't think it's going to be a clean-cut 50-50 split. The reason why we're sharing it on a Sunday, and I'll get to the message still, is we're going into a fast for this tomorrow morning. Yes! It's a wonderful opportunity that we can, as we see God and we focus on those points, but we can also seek His direction for our lives and for us as a corporate body into this new season. I'm reminded of Israel that crossed over the Jordan and they consecrated themselves to the Lord. And it feels like a moment like that for us, where we're going to consecrate ourselves and say, Lord, what is it you want to do? Because we don't just do our lives and then add on church and Christianity and our walk with God on the side. This is it. This is his vehicle that he wants to reach the nations with. This is his body. And so you can't have a living relationship with the head without the body. Lizaldi has these makeup dolls, but only the head that you do hair with. And I always, if I see that thing, I'm reminded that our relationship with Jesus is not just with the head alone, it's with the body. A head alone is scary. If that thing is in the cupboard and you didn't know it's in the cupboard, you get a big fright, I promise you, I tell you that. It's scary. It's incomplete. But a complete walk with God is having a relationship with him there and with his body. And so it shouldn't be a part of our lives. It should be the integral core of our lives as a Christian, is that we are part of a body that's on a journey and we're going where God is leading us. We've got a mandate to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And part of why we're doing this is not just to create space so that we can grow more. It's so that we can fulfill the mandate to make disciples of all nations. And so as we grow and make space, it will allow people, because God desires all men to be saved. He desires the whole of Durbanville to come to a knowledge of him, a genuine knowledge of him, not a church-going knowledge of him, a genuine encounter with the living God. And our community is caught up in a religiosity where they think because they are going to the church, they're Christian. But we've got good news. It's that that isn't enough. It's a living relationship where you bow your knee and acknowledge your sin and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is when the transformation comes. And we've got that good news, that message for this community. And so we want to create space that God will send people. We also want to create space because two congregations means there's two different people that's going to preach God's word. There's more opportunity for contributions, prophetic contributions. There's more opportunity for some of you to step up into spaces because now there's space for growth and a need for people to rise up and to step up and lay hold of what God has called them to. And so that's why we do it. Apart from the obedience, it's to create space for God to work in us and through us. And so this is extremely exciting. I know for some this can be very unsettling because you just found your people. But where's my people going to go? And that's quite unsettling. But I trust that the message will encourage you because it's been unsettling for us. We've known and we've been processing it for a while. As Aldi and I, we've been processing it with the team, with the leadership. And it's been incredibly unsettling because I don't want things to change, but I want change. But I don't want this to change. I want the change to happen in this. I don't want to, because the reality is we've planted our people to congregations and those friendships will never end because it's built around Jesus. But our proximity has shifted. I don't see certain people as much, but I know my hearts are connected. When I do see them, there's an instant connection. There's an instant relationship. I miss Sherman. Hey?
Fire!
Fire! Is that you, Sherman? And for those of you that don't know Sherman, he was one of the leaders in the church that we planted out to go support a church. I miss John and Liesl. I miss Alec and Leandy and the people that we've planted out and send out. I miss them, but I know it's for a greater cause. I'm not just living to have it nice here. I'm living with my eyes set on Jesus, who's leading us, who's desiring all men to be saved. And so it is unsettling. It is an insecure place, because who's going where? Will people leave the congregation I'm going to lead because they don't like me, and that I have to deal with the fact that people don't like me? It's true. It's thoughts that I had. Insecure space. And it will be for some of us at various times. But God is in this. And so practically, what does that mean? We're going to, at the Combined Comms, send out we're going to share this bit more details about it. We're going to send out some information. And then you can respond and indicate. We're not going to tell you, you must go there. We want you to respond and indicate, I want to be part of the 8:30 group, or I want to be part of the 11 o'clock group. When we get that information, we will process that information. Where are the elders going? We don't know. Because we're not here for ourselves. We're not here to choose our preference. We are here to serve you. And so we want to look at the responses and say, these elders will best serve that congregation. These elders will best serve this congregation. So in one sense, the elders are going to fill in the form. But we said, Lord, any place, any time, anywhere, we are yours. We are your leaders. And in one sense, the deacons are also going to posture their hearts like that, their leadership, because we want to serve the people of God. So we're going to ask you to respond, and based on that, we will know where we're going. I don't know which congregation, Lizalde and I don't know which team, eldership team, we will lead, because we will lead one of them. I'm just not sure which one. We're going to prayerfully consider as we receive these responses. We're going to seek. The reason why we're not giving you that information is we want you to go seek the Lord and say, Lord, where are you planting me? Because the reality is, one thing is certain, not people, but God alone. And so we can be here one moment, and then the next moment we can be gone. And we don't want people to respond because of leaders. It might be that you want to respond because of other leaders, like, where's Kevin going? I want to be at the other one. It might be. It might be. But even that shouldn't be our motivation. That shouldn't be the reason why we respond. There should be a sense, Lord, where are you planting us for this season ahead? And some great news is we won't be leading both. We can't. We want to create space. We want to see growth. And we've been journeying with a couple and investing in their lives over the last while. They did Church Planters, and Van and Nicole will be leading the other team, the other congregations team. They're not here today. They just finished Church Planters. They're quickly taking a break, a holiday, and then they're jumping back in a week's time. But they will be leading. Which one they will be leading, we don't know yet, because it all depends on the responses and where God lands. So we're going to send out the form, get responses in about 2 weeks' time. We're going to look at how God sets up the two congregations. Then we're going to announce that to the whole congregation so that you know who's going where, which leadership are going where. It might be that some of you feel like, based on this information, I really need a slot in there, because in terms of my journey in the Lord, I need to be invested there. And then there's space for conversation. We might approach some people and say, would you reconsider going to that congregation? So then we'll start with conversations. We'll process it because we want to find God's best. And then by the end of August, we will know. And then we'll have a month of just getting our teams ready, getting excited. Does that mean things are stopping here? No, we're going to advance and see God's kingdom come. We're going to advance. This congregation, in one sense, will come to an end. But like anything, where there's death, there's life. And we want to see this seed, this congregation, multiply into more. And so we're not going to stop. We're going to continue. And we're going to march into that multiplication into the 4th of October. So that's the big news. Woo! That's the big news that we wanted to share with you. The reason why we did it here is we are going into the fast. We think it's important. And so now I just want to make sure that I've covered all the bases. Elders, did I cover everything? Eh? Did I? Thank you. Yes. Good. So, and like in Acts 13, we see that God said Paul and Barnabas for the work of ministry. We pray over this time that God would set people apart. As he set us apart as elders and myself and Vanu, he set us apart for this work. We trust that God would set us apart. And so, Lord, We're excited with what you are doing in us, amongst us, on the earth, Lord. You're a God that advanced, Lord, and we thank you that your kingdom is an advancing kingdom, and we're advancing with you, Lord. I thank you that you're with us, Lord, and even as you call us to go and make disciples, you give us this promise that through everything as we do this, you will be with us, Lord. And so we take great confidence in this, Lord, that you are with us. That you empower us, that you comfort us, that you come alongside. You're the Parakletos. And I pray that you'd come alongside everyone, God, as they make decisions, as they journey the excitement or maybe the idea of loss and they want to mourn that, Lord. I thank you that you come alongside every single one in this congregation. I pray for those that are new, that doesn't know what's going on here, Lord. I pray that you'll settle their hearts and plant them in, Lord. Because we know that you've called us together. You're joining us, God, for a greater purpose. This is not about Josh Jane, Lord. This is not about our congregation. This is about your glory, Lord, and the advancement of your kingdom. May we live for you, King Jesus, and your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as we dive into the word that you would encourage us. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me take a sip of water. That was a big one. And I trust, I'm not 100% sure where this message is going to go, but journey with me. Because this message is all about a journey. Adventure is out there. I'm not sure if you watched that little animation, but I remember there was a bird called Kevin in that animation. And then they found out Kevin is a girl. It was so disappointing. And they in that whole movie, the whole premise was adventure is out there. And there's adventure for us as we journey with God. There's adventure for our church as we journey with God. And so I want to read through Psalm 84. We sang bits and pieces of it. It's there where the sons of Korah, the psalmist that wrote this, I've got to put up it. Thanks. Let me just get it here. Where the sons of Korah wrote this psalm, and they mentioned their desire, their one cry is to be in the presence of God. We sang it where we said, will you do it for me? Because the phone is disconnecting. Thanks. Their heart's cry was to be in his courts, to be in his presence. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. And so they were on this pilgrimage, on this journey. In one sense, the whole psalm was not they didn't think it was an actual physical journey that the sons of Korah went on. They felt it was a spiritual journey, an emotional journey, because their heart's cry was to be in the very presence of God. And they wrote this psalm and they spoke about this journey, this pilgrimage to the presence of God. And so the message is entitled, Strength to Strength. And let's read there from verse 1. And I want to look at the latter part of the psalm. They spoke about better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. And early on, they speak of what are the attributes, what are the characteristics of a person that journeys with that goal in mind to be in the presence of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. Isn't it beautiful? You can go to the previous slide there from verse 4. Any people here that lived, that was a Christian in the 90s, did any of you think of Hillsong as we read that? A few thought of Hillsong had a song on this, going from strength to strength, blessed are those who dwell in your house. There's something where God wants all of us to go on a journey. That we would pursue him with all of our hearts. And so I want to highlight three things here this morning that I believe will help us on this journey. The first one is, blessed are those who dwell in God's house. Blessed are those who who dwell. You can give me that slide. Blessed are those who dwell in God's house. They are ever praising you. I thought it's interesting how it says they use the word dwell, not the word blessed are those who go to your house. Blessed are those who dwell. That word dwell, the Hebrew word, means to sit, to establish yourself, to settle oneself. I don't know if you recall COVID times. There were people that came and they settled themselves in spaces here in Durbanville where they shouldn't have. They didn't just come for a day. They settled themselves. They made their living there. And it says here, blessed are those who make their living, their dwelling place, the church of God. And there's something about someone that seeks the presence of God that has a great seeking in their hearts to be amongst the people of God. You can quickly give me the quote from Martin Luther. Apart from church, salvation is impossible. And he said, church going doesn't make you saved. It's not a requirement to salvation. But in order to walk out that salvation, church life is critical. Being part, being established, being a dweller in God's household is critical. The psalmist calls you, blessed are you when you do that. Living in the fullness of God. Calvin wrote the following. So highly does the Lord esteem the communion of his church that he considers everyone a traitor and apostate from religion who perversely withdraws himself from any church. That was how serious they saw it. And this is not scripture, but these are scholars that read God's word, that looked at experience, looked at their own journey and came to this conclusion that you can't have a relationship with Jesus without being invested, planted in to a local body. Where you give expression to that. Where you receive from the goodness of God through others. Luke wrote about Paul. Paul was persecuting the church. He was putting Christians in jail. When Christians were being stoned and killed, he gave approval to it. He enjoyed it. And here he comes and he has encounter with God. He meets the living Christ. And then he goes back to the church of Jerusalem. And it says there, in Acts 9, verse 26, Paul went back to Jerusalem and tried to join the church. Now, you must realize he is going back to Jerusalem. Now, the Jerusalem guy, see, he is a visitor. Oh, goodness, it's a guy who tried to kill us. And they're like, no, you need to go. God desires all people to be saved, but we just want to be saved here tonight. So you got to go. So they upset with him. And then a guy, Barnabas, comes and he calms everyone. He's like, no, this guy got saved. It's legit. His life is changed. And he's trying to convince them. And then they receive him based on Barnabas' encouragement. That word join, if you look at the Greek word, it means to glue yourself. So Paul met Jesus. Then he was alone with Jesus in the wilderness and he realized, I can't do this just with Jesus alone. I need the church. And so Paul went back after this wonderful encounter with Jesus and he desired, I know you probably don't want me here, but I want to glue myself to you. I want to be part of this local expression. I know I'm part of the global church, but I want to glue myself. I want to get to a place where you actually see me face to face. He didn't just go to Jerusalem to hang around there. They wanted to get rid of him, so it was proximity. I want to glue myself. You see, these days we're living in a society where the enemy has Christians glued to a screen. Where we look. Watch little reels and we watch little things and we choose like, oh, I don't like that guy. Oh, that message is a bit rough. Like, oh, this is a good one. Let me share it. And we've got these little bite-sized messages. But you see, the problem with that is that leader doesn't know you. You don't know that leader's life. You see, the problem with that is you spectating, you're not partaking. The problem with that is you don't have other Christians that you can encourage. It's a multi-membered body. A multi-membered body. You and a screen is not a body. And so Enemy's got many Christians glued to screens. But I want to encourage us today, as God is leading us forward, make sure you glue yourself to a local house. If you're part of this house, make sure you are glued to this house. And if there is anything in your life, any argument, any situation, any ministry, every program, any course, any device that is causing you to detach, repent and get glued back in. There shouldn't be any reason. Paul wanted to be glued in. The thing about being glued in is you're stuck. It's sticky. Being glued together is sticky. I'm not sure if any of you by accident glued your two fingers together with super glue. It's a difficult, your fingers go together. Isn't that the picture? We go where Jesus is going, but we go together. We're glued together. So if there is anything, look, I know, let me just qualify. I know sometimes there are medical reasons and there's situations that make it impossible to be in the proximity where God's people are. And it's not just random, any church. Paul wanted to be glued to a local expression. And I know sometimes it's difficult to be at the gatherings. The Hebrew writer says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. That's instruction with a warning. Encourage one another daily. So I know sometimes there's certain situations that makes it difficult. Life or death situations or real important things. But the very heart should be, if at all possible, I will be there. Not because it's what we expect. It's because that relationship with Jesus should translate into, I want to be stuck. I want to be glued in to a local house. It doesn't say, the people didn't like Paul. Think about it. He is like, I want to be part. And everyone's like, we don't want you here. How's that for rejection? It's like, get out of here. We don't trust you. But he pushed in because of this relationship. So as we go into this next season, make sure you are glued in somewhere. Now where you're at, make sure you are glued in somewhere. At community group, make sure you're glued in there. And if you want to look at excuses and you think, ask yourself, is this a valid excuse? Or is it simply something that the enemy is using to detach me? What, doing a course or watching a little reel? A real way someone speaks the truth. Okay, I'm speaking about good Bible teachers, not the dodgy ones. So if it's a good one, at the end of that, I don't have a problem if people do that, but that should cause you to get more stuck. If those things are causing you to detach, get rid of it. Any course causing you to detach from the local church, get out of there. If those things causes a greater attachment, embrace it. Amen? Is that okay? Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. Planted, stuck in. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Those that are planted will flourish. They will bear fruit, even in their old age. Where the thinking is things need to slow down, they will bear fruit. Because they're planted in the vine. They're abiding in the vine and they're abiding in the household. The household is not this building. It's the living stones. The writer in Peter says, these living stones are being built together to be a dwelling place of God Most High. That journeyman, that pilgrim, was looking for the dwelling place of God. This is the dwelling place of God. Secondly, you can put it up on the screen there. Blessed are those whose hearts are set. Blessed are those whose hearts are set. So blessed are those who dwell in God's house, and blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, set on going somewhere. Other translation said, blessed are those whose hearts are on the highways. In other ways, it's blessed are those who's living in a space where their feet isn't there yet. So it's those who set their hearts on something. They journey, they're going there, but their hearts, their desire is set on that very thing. And so we're not perfect yet, but we know that Jesus, we're being transformed into the very image of Jesus. So my heart is set on that journey, and my feet is going where my heart is set. And so God wants to take us somewhere. There's a psychologist, Sigmund Freud, or a philosopher, psychologist, intellectual guy, Sigmund Freud, Freud, a guy, a very clever guy. He made this conclusion, and he believed that people are largely controlled by their past. Childhood wounds, I think there's something about wounds and stuff that came out here in the prophetic words, that largely who I am today, the things that I struggle with, is largely due to the things that have happened in my past. My struggles here, it's, and although that gives understanding where we find ourselves in, there's a other, one of his scholars, so he was a professor and someone that studied under him, Carl Jung, he came up with the following conclusion, and he said, our past matters, but he argued something else is equally powerful. People should also be shaped by the future they imagine. And what he said is, in psychology, these two arguments came together. And he said, as much as we're delving in roots and trying to figure out our past and trying to give understanding and excuse for where I am now, if I only focus there, I will remain stuck. And Carl Jung said, this is a philosophy, we need to also look ahead, because what we see in the future will pull us out of where we're at. There's a scripture that says, without vision, my people cast off restraint. And I felt that the Lord, as I prepared another message, I felt the Lord steer me in this direction. I felt he said, I want to encourage some of my people to lift up their gaze, to lift up their heads. They are stuck dealing with certain things in their lives because they're looking too far back. They are stuck because they excuse where they're at because of their past. Maybe you grew up without a father, and I understand, I've seen the challenges that produces an absent father. But I want to give you hope and say, lift your head. You know the perfect father, the good father, a father without fault. And I need to understand what has happened in my life, and I need to deal with things with understanding with what has happened. But I also got to say, I need to move forward. Because as I look to him, as I look forward, as I cast vision for myself, that's going to pull me out of where I'm at now. Some of us are stuck because we're so obsessed with what has happened or what has not happened. We need to lift our gaze and say, everything for life and godliness. He's provided everything I need for life and godliness in him abundantly. He is your hope. He is your joy. He's a good father. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's a name above every name. We serve a king who's seated on the throne. We need to lift our gaze. I was quite athletic at school and ran long distance races and was quite good. And then grade 11, grade 12, I every now and then would go up Plattekloof Gorge there by Table Mountain. It's a lot of steps and quite a nice little workout. And I ran up easy. It was like, it's like easy hike. And so a few years on, we get married. Zaldia has a birthday. I think it's 24, 25, something there. And she's like, I want to go hike with a lot of friends. But obviously not all my friends can do a hike. Where do you think? She lived in Bloemfontein. It's like, you've grew up here. Where's a good place? I'm like, Plattekloof. It's easy. I ran up there. And so we go to Plattekloof with people that probably should have just walked around the dam. And so now with this group here, we're going to go up Plattekloof. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I start running up Plattekloof. A minute in, I'm like, oh, Horner. This is not how I remember it. I've got a problem. Anyway, the pace dropped. I thought to the group, the main group's like, okay, you can go on. I'll meet you upstairs. I'll just look after the people that's struggling, yeah. So they went. I looked after the strugglers here, and hey man, I struggled. It's like, yo, this is hard. But every now and then, because it's step after step, and you're just focusing down here, and it's just like, yo, this is excruciating. What did I think? But every now and then, you just look up to where you're going. You look up to the summit. And you're like, cool, I'm heading in the right way. It's like, I'm going to get there. So this momentary affliction is that I'm okay. I'm going to push through because I'm almost there. I'm closer than what I was. So I'm going to push through. And on this journey, every now and then, as we get bombarded with what we are facing, we need to look up to the summit, to King Jesus. Blessed are those who set their hearts. We are going somewhere as a church, and it's going to be daunting, and it's going to be fragile, and there's going to be relationship things that's like, I just joined this community group. Why change? I might lose a friend, or I might not see a friend a lot. And when you get to those spaces, allow the Lord to comfort you, because He is your comforter. And then say, Lord, lift my head, that I would see what you're busy with, so that I don't lose heart. Yeah, in your life, in your marriage, I want to encourage you. Lift your gaze. Your marriage might be struggling because of things that have happened in the past and your present. But hey, man, Jesus loves His church, which is His bride. There's ample example of the Bible teaching us about a wonderful marriage. There's a hope there. There's people around us. Lift up your gaze and see the better future that you could have. You need to deal with the things that you faced and are facing. But every now and then, you need to look up to what it could be. Although it's not there yet, your feet still needs to get there. Get your heart there. Get your sight there. Set your heart there. Plant your stake. Like, boom. This is it. This is it. This is where I want to go. This is where I want to go. So I'm going to quickly go back and just deal with certain things here because this is causing me to bend in a certain way. So I'm going to deal with this and then I go where I've set my heart, where my stake is planted. There is hope for your marriage. Because we know the one who can do all things. We know the one that when you made that covenant is invested in that covenant. That wants to enable you to see this marriage through, to reflect something to the world that's lost and dying of a beautiful wedding feast that is to come. There is a hope. Maybe you're struggling with the area of sin. Maybe there's an area of despair, heartache, pain. I want to tell you, I know that there's a reason for that heartache and that pain, and we're not pushing that aside, but also set your stake into what can happen. Di shared a testimony here last week. In a grief, in a pain, she found the one. And although there's still a tugging at times and she needs to process things, her hearts are set. Her hearts are set on the goodness of God. And that's daily her pilgrimage. Daily, she needs to journey there. But blessed are you, Di. Blessed are you. Because your heart's been set on pilgrimage. You didn't stay there. You didn't stay there. And the next point, oh, blessed are those who pass through the valley of Baca and make it a place of spring. Blessed are those. And like many here, you might find yourself in the valley of Baca. And the Valley of Baca was a place of weeping, sadness, a desolate place. And you might find you there where it's horrible, where your heart is aching. It feels like there's no fruit. It's a place of weeping. And the writer says here, when I go through that, it wasn't a physical place because they can't find it and they assume that it was a reference to something. It says, when you find yourself there, make it a place of springs. When you find yourself in a desolate place and your heart is aching, set your heart on pilgrimage. Set it on the goodness of God. Set it on the words that God has spoken of your life. And pass through. Can I just have a few people here? Just come and walk over the stage. Walk through there. Let's come, a few of you. Just a few of you. I need more. I need a few. Like more than two. Like many. Just come, just walk. Walk through. I just want you to get to the other side, all right? Just walk through. Yes. Hey, 100,000. Just walk through. Just want you to get to the other side. You guys can go. Come again. Just come again. Come again. Just walk through. Blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Blessed, come here. Blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. As they pass through. It says, they were constantly passing through. They didn't stay here even when they faced the obstacle. They passed through. Blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage, who pass through the valley of Baca. There will be valleys of Baca. There will be times of great weeping and despair and struggle in your life. But blessed are you when you pass through. When you don't stay there. When you don't stay there, when you face a difficulty. The good news is that we can set our hearts on something secure. The living God. But now when we face that difficulty in our lives, it doesn't say how quickly you need to pass through. All it's saying is pass through. Don't stay there. Yeah, but it's difficult. Yeah, but you don't understand. I probably don't. But this I know. That those who desire to be in his courts all the days of their lives, they don't stay there. They pass through. How do they pass through? We read it in the next verse. They make it a place of spring. That make is the same word that they use to dig a well. So in that moment of Baca, when there's great weeping, turmoil, struggle, when there's hopelessness, I felt that's the area, somewhere in the prayer meeting that also came out, this area of hopelessness. Maybe you look at your circumstances, your financial situation, your marriage. Maybe you look at this church multiplication, whatever it might be. Maybe there's great heartache. You're processing the loss or of a loved one or news of a loved one or the lack, maybe the fact that a loved one isn't saved and you're processing this. And it's a valley of Baca. It's a place of weeping. But then the scripture says, make it a place of spring. Dig a well in the endless river of God. Dig a well in you if you believe there's streams of living waters that will gush forth. Dig a well there. Connect with the Lord and dig in. Passing through is digging into the presence of God. Digging into the nature of God. Digging into the knowledge of God. And as you come to know his comfort, as you come to know his peace, as you come to know his joy, you'll pass through the valley of Baca. You'll pass through. So in that moment, make sure that you are digging. He is your hope. He is the one that is good. So as we embark on this journey, I'm not sure where you are individually, where you are right now. But we're going on a journey. We're going on a pilgrimage because God is calling us. And we want to be a people who dwell in God's house. We want to be a people who set our hearts on pilgrimage. And we want to be a people that pass through this. If there comes difficult emotions and struggles, maybe there's practical things, we will pass through because we're going to dig into the presence of God. We're going to find him. Or maybe individually where you're at now, I'm not sure where you are. Maybe there is a disconnect with the church. God is calling you back in. Maybe you are in a place where there's hopelessness, turmoil. Maybe there's deep rejection at school. Maybe it's a difficult work environment. Maybe you're at university and it's just the pressures are getting too much. The encouragement from the Lord is lift your gaze. Set your heart on him. Set your heart on pilgrimage. Get your feet where your heart is at. And in that place of despair, dig the well. Dig into God. Dig into God. Get glued in. Get your heart set in and start digging. And find him so that you can pass through. I just want to read that scripture again from verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Put your strength in God, even in the good times. The key thing here, Blessed are those who strengthen you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Even in our good times, it's important that we need to look up and make sure that I'm going in the right direction. Because as Andre shared early on, finances can draw our hearts away. Our good times can draw us away from the Lord. So even in these times, we need to put our strength in Him, set our hearts on Him, and make sure we stay the course. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So let's set our hearts on this pilgrimage until we all see Him one day face to face. There's one pilgrim, the pilgrim of pilgrims. He was fully God. And He came down to earth, took on our nature. And He went on a journey. But His Valley of Baca was called something else. His Valley of Baca was called Calvary. And in that place of despair, of great weeping, He died in our place. Why did He die? Why did He go? Why did He pass through that deep valley? Because His heart was set on the salvation of God. And that's why He pushed through. Even He humbled Himself even to the point of death. Why? Because all of mankind have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And you might be here, you might not be a Christian, or maybe you drifted away from the Lord. And we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But how do we get back to Him? Because our sin causes us not to be in God's presence. And that pilgrimage, that desire is impossible if someone doesn't deal with the sin. Because there can't be sin in God's house. And so God send a pilgrim on a journey. He went through His Valley of Baca, Calvary. He died on the cross. And the Bible says Jesus died in our place so that we might receive salvation, so that we might be free, so that we can receive a new nature, one that's not ruled by sin in our past anymore, but one that is ruled by Jesus, the King of Kings, the one who sits on the throne. Because of that, when we today, we cry out to Him. Bible says, if you cry out to Him with all your heart, He will save you. And so this morning is an opportunity to respond to that pilgrim and say, I don't know my way back to the Father. I'm lost. I desire that where I'm in the house of God and I find strength. I desire a blessed life. It starts by acknowledging that you are sin. That you are sinful and in need of a Savior. And in that repentance,